Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
To see you guys out there. Hey, we had an awesome week last week. Actually, the youth in our church, middle school, high school students, were at camp. They were actually at Skyview Ranch right there. I'll give you a couple pictures. They had an awesome time. I think 86 total were there. They had a little some fun times. They had some great times in worship. I think the entire group was encouraged and really had a great time and just really enjoyed themselves and had lots of things. Now, I came across a video by two of our pastors, Spring Hills pastors, Pastor Coley and Pastor Mark. And my wife actually said, "Hey, have you seen this video on Facebook about camp?" And I said, "No, I haven't seen it." So my wife showed me the video, and I just thought I'd show all of you to get a little taste of the fun from youth camp this past weekend. So here's a message from youth camp back to us, Pastor Coley, Pastor Mark. Here they are right here.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This here is Officer O'Malley. I'm with my partner, Joseph.
Yeah, Joey. They call me Joey.
We're up here at Skyview Ranch. We just want all of you to know down there in Spring Hills Baptist Church land that we got your little kitties up here very safe and secure. But hey, we still need some prayers up here, okay? God's doing some great things, but my partner and I, you know, we can't do it all. So you call on the big guy upstairs, and we hope he's changing lives. All right? He's doing a lot of work up here. Okay. Joseph, who are we?
Bike cops. Bike officers on the move.
That's right. They call us Boom. Thank you.
Have a little hand there, if you don't mind, for such creativity. Now, the heart of that message was that they needed prayer. And actually, last week we talked about the idea of prayer. I'll talk about it again this week. Last week we talked about if you're in trouble, pray. If you're doing well, sing songs of praise. And the third of those things is if you're sick. And James says right here, James 5, 14, we'll jump in right here. James says, "Is anyone among you sick?" He means, are you physically sick? Are you injured? Is there something wrong with your physical body? If you're sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And a prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they've sinned, they'll be forgiven. Now, right away, we just notice about this. James says, if you're sick, if you're physically sick, here's what you should do. You should get prayer. He literally says, call the elders of the church to come and have them come pray for you. I'll tell you, we have elders in our church, and we do this often. As a matter of fact, where we'll take oil. This is the oil. The day I became senior pastor, someone gave me this vial of oil, and I will tell you, it smells fantastic. Oh, yeah, it's awesome. And we have the oil, and oftentimes the elders will come together. Somebody will ask, and they'll pray over them, anoint them with oil. We also have other methods to pray for healing, prayer for physical healing. James gives a model, not the only model. We see other models in the Bible of healing prayer happening as well. Most of you know we've got a healing prayer team after every service to pray for emotional things or physical things, praying for healing in that way. And James says some interesting things. He says, if you're sick, then you should get prayer. That's something that you should seek. If the lights blink, you should get prayer. I mean, you can get prayer for lots of different things. But here's what he says. The prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. What an interesting thing that James says. The Lord, he says, the Lord will raise him up. There's healing available is what James is saying. And we're going to start with point number one here. And we're going to talk about this and get into it in a deep way today. But here's point number one. Our God is a God of healing. And you can write that down. Our God is a God of healing. And when I say that, our God is a God of healing, we want to understand that our church has a core value. And one of our core values is wholeness and healing. And wholeness and healing are similar. Healing is the idea that I'm functioning well in whatever way it might be. And wholeness means I'm totally whole. We would definitely say our God is a God of healing, and he wants to bring spiritual healing or spiritual wholeness to our life. That wholeness comes spiritually. We see in Colossians 2:13. We were dead in our sins. We were not spiritually whole. We were dead in our sins and the uncircumcision of our flesh. But God made us alive. I'm waiting for an amen out there, people. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all our sins. Who here would say, just raise your hand, that you have been made spiritually whole by accepting Christ? Just raise your hand. Absolutely. He brings wholeness in that way. He brings spiritual healing to a lost world. He brings salvation to us in that way. We also would proudly say God is a God of healing, and God wants to work in inner healing in our lives. There are issues that we have, inner healing issues of anxiety, issues of depression, issues of addiction, lots of issues that are out there. We talk about this scripture where Jesus says in Luke 4, quoting Isaiah, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me. He's anointed me. He has sent me to proclaim freedom from the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, and set the oppressed free. This is about having inner healing, being set free from the issues that are holding you back. We have amazing ministries here like Celebrate Recovery and other ministries that take us to a place of inner healing. We have a great ministry called Grief Share that helps you work through after the loss of a loved one, working through that inner healing process, sharing about your feelings and where you are. Who here would be bold enough to raise your hand and say, at some point in your life, God has helped you to come to a place where you've had inner healing of some issues in your life? I'll raise my hand. I definitely have. Absolutely. God works in that way. But definitely James's discussion here is really about physical healing. And we have to be honest to ourselves and say that a big part of what Jesus did was offer physical healing. Look right here in Matthew 4:23. Jesus went throughout Galilee teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness among the people. Now, let me say two things about physical healing and how I'd like you to see it as I see it in this way. Here's number one. If you are sick, oh, I said sick and seek put together. If you are sick, seek every means of healing. I want you to seek every means of healing. That means go to a doctor. James doesn't mention here going to a doctor, but of course you go to a doctor. If you're sick, you go to a doctor. You go to a hospital. You use every possible means of medicine that we're going to say this statement about physical healing today, and we're going to say it in this way, and I'll explain it. Here's the statement right here. It's all healing is God's healing, and I want you to see it in this way. All healing is God's healing. If you look at my arm carefully, I'm going to raise my sleeve up, even though I know you can't see it. If you raise my arm up here, you're going to see there's a scar on my arm, and the scar is right here from a surgery that I had. My Christian doctor, who's a member of this church, did surgery on my arm to take out a precancerous mole that I had right there, and before he did the surgery, we prayed. We prayed together. He's my Christian doctor. He goes to this church. We prayed together. Then he got out his scalpel. That was an awesome moment, by the way. I was fully conscious of the whole thing. He cut my arm open. I watched him. I'm like, wow, you're pretty good at that, doc. He's like, most people look away, Tom. Oh, I don't mind. Go ahead. Cut my arm open. You know, he cut my arm, stitched it up, and had a local anesthetic. I wasn't that tough. You know, I wasn't like, bring it on. No, it was like that. But you know what I said when that happened and this scar healed up? I said, you know what? God healed me. You know, God healed me. God worked in that way. He brought healing. In that case, it happened through my doctor. I went to my doctor. I had an issue. I saw healing come in that way. But I gave glory to God. We prayed for it, and I gave glory to God. Let me tell you another story about this understanding of all healing is God's healing. Last Sunday, I mentioned to you guys it was my 18th anniversary with my wife. My wedding anniversary was last week, and we had an awesome time, and I made dinner for my wife. I made her a steak dinner. It was delicious. If you're a vegetarian, look away. But it was just amazing. I cooked the whole thing myself. I kind of enjoy cooking and grilling, and I was chopping up some vegetables to roast some vegetables, which are delicious, little goat cheese. Oh, yeah, baby. Anyway, so I was chopping a red pepper, and I came through, and I was kind of watching TV at the same time, a little TV in my kitchen, and I'm chopping vegetables, and my thumb, which is right here, was right there holding it down, and I'm chopping and listening to the news, I think, something about an upcoming debate, and I'm chopping vegetables coming through, and I sliced right into my thumb. And it happened in this way. Some of you are like, no, you can't even see it, right? I sliced into my thumb, and I felt the knife. This is kind of, if you're squeamish, just close your ears. I felt the knife hit my thumbnail. Felt the knife hit my thumbnail. And I thought, that's probably not good. And I looked down, and there's blood, like, splurting out of my thumb. And so I got first aid, went to the sink, I put the water on my thumb, and I yelled to my wife, kind of like if you've seen The Incredibles, I was like, honey, you know. And Tracy's like, what's wrong? And I'm like, I cut myself really bad. Come look. And she's like, you know I can't look at blood. And she walked in like that. She's like, ew. So my 11-year-old daughter Ella walks in. She's like, Dad, I'll help you. Let me see it. I'm like, here you go. She's like, oh, looks pretty bloody. Let's get a Band-Aid for that. I'm like, thanks, honey. My wife's like, I'm going to pass out. I can't be in here. You know, she walked out and she yells in the room, tell me how it goes. And Ella's like, okay, Dad, here's a Band-Aid. Let's put it on. You know, she's getting me all doctored up and whatnot. Actually, I started with a napkin that we taped on there because there's so much blood coming out. But you know what? Here's the thing. Within a couple of minutes after I was like, stitches? I don't think so. That's always my answer, by the way. Stitches? I don't think so. After a few minutes, I pulled that napkin off, and my blood was doing this crazy thing. My blood was clotting. My blood was clotting, and it stopped bleeding, even though it's still kind of thick right now. And I put a Band-Aid on there, and you know what happened? God created my body in such a way that there is healing properties that God has put inside my blood. Now, they didn't come from millions of years of evolution of blood mutating, mutating, mutating to finally be able to clot. God created my blood in this way for my body to naturally heal. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I'll tell you this. I did not. I didn't. I probably should have. I didn't follow James. I should have. I didn't pray over my thumb. I didn't call the elders to come anoint my thumb with oil. I didn't do it. But still, when this thumb fully heals, I'm going to praise God. Because all healing is God's healing. And when this thumb heals, I'm going to say, praise God. Are you with me on that? Right. It's healing. God, you healed my thumb. Thank you for doing it. And what I'm saying to you loud and clear, go see a doctor. You're sick. Go see a doctor. There's doctors in this room right here. Go see them. We embrace everything about the medical community. Number two, when your body naturally heals itself, that's God's healing. And declare that and say, God, thank you. But we also see in Scripture, in the Bible, and in this very church, that people have issues that are with their body, the physical issues that are there, and they receive prayer, and they are miraculously healed. Amen? Amen. Now, all healing is God's healing. Here's number one. Our God is a God of healing. Spiritual healing, physical healing, emotional healing. God brings healing. If you're doubting that, know a name of God is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Exodus 15:26 describes God in this way. He's the God who brings healing. He designed your body to heal itself. He's given us medical knowledge. At times we see miraculous healing. And when you're in heaven, you'll be totally healed. Amen? Amen. That's how God wants your body to be, totally healed. You're going to be there with him. It's going to be amazing. But let's just be honest about this topic of divine healing especially. And let's just admit this. Our God is a God of healing, but sometimes that healing does not come on earth. Sometimes it doesn't happen. And it's a confusing thing because we'll pray for one person or one person will go through treatment in the hospital and we're praying and we're seeing and we're saying, God, heal, God, heal. And sometimes that healing does not happen here on earth. Sometimes they aren't healed even as we're praying for it. Even after the prayer team comes, even after the elders anoint, even after that time, sometimes, even though God is a God of healing, sometimes that healing does not come on earth. I'm going to tell you something really important. I have one rule of healing prayer. When somebody comes to me and says, will you pray for me for healing? I have one rule for healing prayer, and this is my rule. Healing prayer should never hurt. When you receive healing prayer, it should not hurt you. Now, I mean, sometimes people receive prayer for healing and something is said to them or something conveyed and they're actually hurt by the process of healing prayer. And I want to say to you, if this occurs, even though God's a God of healing and we see lots of healing happen, if healing doesn't happen, I don't want you to do this. Please do not indulge simple explanations for why someone is not healed. For example, this explanation, I do not ever want you to think or say. If you go for healing and whatever process you go through, but if you get prayer in that process, whatever it might look like, and healing doesn't happen, I do not want you to say, well, that person didn't have enough faith. Yeah. Or the healing team didn't have enough faith. Or somebody didn't have, oh, if they had faith, you know, if you had faith, you would have been healed. Listen, healing is so much more complicated than simply, do you have enough faith or don't have, you know, have enough faith? There's a man in our church. Those are churches. His name's Rick. I've got a video of Rick. It's about a 3-minute video. I'm not going to show it. But in the video, Rick says he's sitting in church just like this. And I'm preaching about healing like I am right now. And Rick is thinking to himself, I don't believe it. I don't believe in healing, Tom. I don't believe what you're saying. I don't think God still heals. I don't think so. And in the video, Rick explains, he goes out of the parking lot and opening his car door, he's healed of a shoulder injury that he's had for years. He says, he's healed. He's like, wow, I was just sitting there thinking God doesn't heal. And then I walk out here and I open the door and God's like, yes, I do. And my shoulder's healed. What an amazing thing. He had no faith at all. And he was totally healed. And I've seen the most faithful people you could ever imagine, including myself, who have prayed for someone's healing and not seen that healing. Now, we'd be kidding ourselves to say there isn't a connection in the Bible between faith and healing because that connection obviously exists. But I never want you to say you didn't have enough faith. That's not an adequate explanation for why someone's not healed. It's also painful. It also hurts them in the process when they blame themselves or blame someone else. It's just not a good explanation. And number two, this is not a good explanation. Don't ever say this. Well, God doesn't heal anymore. That happened way back in the Bible, way back then, some time ago, but doesn't happen anymore. That's why you're not healed, because God doesn't do it anymore. No way. That's not a biblical understanding of healing. We know that God heals. Here's how I see healing. Here's how I want you to see healing. Here's the idea. Divine healing is a mystery that we don't fully understand. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to follow James 5. If you're sick, get prayer. Have the elders pray for you. Go to the prayer room, get prayer. Come see me, I'll pray for you. Go to anybody you want, get prayer. Follow James 5. Get prayer when you're sick, and here's what you do. You pray to God. After you have healing prayer, you rest in him, and then you praise him no matter what. Can you say amen to that? Amen. We pray to God, we rest in him, and we praise him. And if you're healed, you praise him. If it isn't happening in that moment, then you rest in him, you praise him. And if you're saying, you know what, this isn't the healing I was looking for, then you can come back later and pray again. That's okay. It's okay to receive prayer more than one time for something. But don't think it's because it was your faith or the person's faith or someone's faith. Don't think, well, God doesn't do it anymore, because God clearly does it. Now, I want you to see this issue clearly. As I'm saying, people, we often see at Spring Hills, people experience miraculous healing. One place that we see that is right here in this room with our prayer team. It happens, I'm told, virtually every week someone receives some kind of healing. It's an amazing thing. We go on trips to the Philippines, we see people healed in miraculous ways. I just went to Africa a few weeks ago. We saw miraculous healing while I was there right in Africa. And I want to tell you, even though it's a mystery to us of exactly why it happens, we still want to rejoice when miracles happen. Am I right? We rejoice in them. I'm just going to show you a brief video right now about a story that happened when I was in Africa about how God healed, about how we know God is still healing and how we can see his power at work. The story I'm going to give you, it's just a brief video. I'm going to show you just a video testimony of this healing, but it involved my entire team. That's our whole Africa team right there. There we are in that picture. The whole team was, I told you before, we had a crusade and people accepted Christ and we had a fantastic moment there, people accepting Christ. And then I said, hey, if you need prayer for anything, we're going to kind of be in two lines and just come get prayer. And so we kind of formed the two lines and people began walking up and they wanted prayer for all kinds of stuff. The majority of those prayers were for a job. Men coming and saying, I need a job. In Zimbabwe, the unemployment rate, get this, the unemployment rate in Zimbabwe is 80%. 80% unemployment in that country. And they're saying, I need a job. We'd pray for a new job. Someone would say, I need a blessing. We'd pray for a blessing. I had actually child after child come, little child come, and they said this to me. Could you pray for excellence in school for me? I want to be excellent in school. Could you pray for that? I did it so many times in a row. I said, how many, it's a huge line, maybe 50 people waiting to get prayed for. I said, how many of you are here for excellence in school? And all these kids raised their hand. I said, come up here, here's a picture of it. And all the kids came up, and we circled those kids and prayed for excellence in school. By the way, I'll pray that for any of you that want excellence in school, I'm all about it, right? We also saw people come that said, hey, I've got an issue in my body. I want prayer. And so we prayed for them, and we began to see God heal things happening in their body. Well, I was in one team. Bobby Tucker was in the other team with his wife, Nicole, and a translator was over there. And a woman came, and she got prayer, and she was healed. And she was amazed by that. She was excited by that. And she said, listen, my daughter is home in our house, sick in bed. Would you guys come with us back to our house and pray for her? Because she cannot get out of bed. She's in a dire situation. So Bobby's going to pick it up from that point, the woman asking us to go to her house. Here's Bobby right here.
So after this woman was healed, we were asked by her to go to her house because her daughter was in bed, sick. They didn't know what was wrong. She'd been there for a month. And so we said, yeah, well, absolutely. We'll walk to the house. And so we just gathered all of the people on our team. And we as a team went to the house to pray for this young lady.
So we walk into this house and it was completely dark. And we walked into a side room and there was this woman who was laying down in the bed. And they had told us that she was not even strong enough to lift the covers over her at night. We started to, you know, walk to her, and we realized that she was like a skeleton laying in a bed.
When we got to the house, we all walked in together, and it was a small home that was really dark and gloomy kind of feeling when you walked in the room. And we walked into the bedroom where the lady was laying in bed. I was expecting to see a little girl because she had asked us to come pray for her daughter. But she was adult-sized woman, maybe 18, 19 years old. But she was just wasted away. When I first saw her, I thought, oh my gosh, she is nearly near death. And I was thinking as we were coming in there to pray that this poor woman was probably dying of something, because she just looked so emaciated, so just skin and bones, like a skeleton under a blanket. And they told us she had been so weak that she couldn't even raise the blankets up over herself on her own, that someone had to lift the blankets to put on top of her, and that she hadn't been out of bed for over a month. So we went in and just saw this woman that was on the brink of death, laying there basically unable to move or do anything on her own.
So we're all standing in that small little room, and we all gather around her, and I think I remember saying something like, okay, let's pray. And I reached up with my hand on her leg, and I saw
others around me from our team that were there laying hands on her as well. And we just began to pray. Very clear, very simple way. We just began to pray for her healing. What I recall was as I began to pray for her healing, I had this picture just kind of jump in my mind. And the picture was that girl standing in the bedroom with her arms raised up, praising Jesus. And so I had that little, you know, kind of image in my mind. We stopped praying. And before I could even ask her how she's feeling or how she's doing, she immediately sat up in bed. Her mom made this noise like, oh, because she couldn't move before that. And here she is sitting up in bed, and she begins to talk and say, she begins to say, praise God, thank you, God, praise God, thank you, God. And she's sitting there up in bed in that moment. It was incredible.
After we prayed the first time and she sat up in bed, I remember her saying, I feel something happening inside of me. And everyone was just so excited just that she was sitting up, because she hadn't done even that for such a long time.
Well, she sits up, and then we just gave glory to God. And we just ask her, you know, do you know who Jesus is? And you know, and she even said a little prayer, I think. And I just remember feeling this overwhelming feeling of just, we just gotta keep praying for her. So we pray for her again, and she slides her legs off the bed and stands up in the room. A woman who hasn't been able to move for a month, hasn't been able to get up to go to the bathroom, is standing up, praising God, just like in Tom's vision.
After they started praying for the second time, when she was sitting up, you could just feel something, and we knew it was the Holy Spirit. It was like a wind, like the gloominess was gone. It was just God was there.
After she prayed again and she stood up out of the bed, she just stood there with her hands raised up to heaven saying, I receive you, Jesus. I receive you, Jesus. I receive this healing, Jesus. And she even got down on her knees and was just praising the Lord and was just so grateful. And everyone was just in awe and just feeling in that moment the presence of God.
And her mom smiled at me, this smile, you know, just of a mother that's seen her daughter on the brink of death. And then miraculously back from that place. So we walk out in front of the house and we stand there and we just get some pictures standing with the mom, and the neighbors were all standing around, our teams all standing around. It was just this amazing, amazing moment.
So then after we got home, you know, it was maybe a week later, I was in communication with the people in Zimbabwe, and I asked about, you know, this lady, Martha, if there's any way we can get some correspondence on her health and how she's doing. And our good friend Munya had said they miraculously got her into a car or something. She had the strength to walk out of the house and to go to the doctor. And the doctor basically said, you're on the road to full recovery. It was just amazing.
How about an amen for that, everybody? Okay? Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, that's what we're saying, number one. James says if you're sick, get prayer. We're saying all healing is God's healing, and we're just praising God for the healing that comes. It's a mystery we don't fully understand, but we know God is a healing God. Amen? Now, James goes on and says this. Verse 16. Now, some believe, many Bible scholars believe that James in verse 16 maybe is talking now more about inner healing possibly or something else, but here's what James says in verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. He says there's a powerful thing that happens when you have confession and prayer put together. Now, the word he uses here is confess your sins, and I want to say a few things about this idea of confessing your sins. Because often when you come to church, one of the things you like to do, or I like to do, or we might do if we're not careful, is we just kind of project ourselves in the most perfect light possible, don't we? We don't always tell people, hey, I'm struggling, or hey, I'm not doing well. We kind of hide those parts of ourselves that we don't think look so pretty, and we just kind of project this image like, oh, I'm doing great. But James is actually telling us to do the opposite of that. He's saying we should confess our sins. Our sins should be something that we are able to confess. And that confession coupled with prayer is a very powerful thing. To do that, we have to have authentic relationships that allow us in safety to confess our sins. Here's point number two. Fill in these blanks if you would. Here's idea number two. God desires authentic relationships that are courageous enough to have confession and prayer. These relationships bring healing, is what James is saying. That we have relationships, we have confession, and there's prayer, and these relationships bring healing into our life in a very powerful way. Authentic relationships. Now, just think about this for a second, this idea of confession and prayer.
I would even say, James says, confess your sins to each other. But I would say even before sins, which we definitely want to do, that we could just even just confess things like this. Confess your fears. Find a friend that you trust, someone that you value highly, have a great relationship with, and you go to that person and you just confess, here's some of my deep fears. I'm afraid of sharing the gospel. I'm afraid people are going to make fun of me. You just get out there and confess your fears, and that you may find that confessing those fears and praying about those fears brings healing over those issues in your life. Anybody here ever done that before? Just raise your hand. Ever confess your fear to somebody and see the power of how that works? Or number two, you might do this. Confess your frustrations. A lot of us in America, we like to hide our frustrations or deny that we're frustrated. And it can be such a powerful thing just to sit down with somebody and say, you know what? I trust you. I have an authentic relationship with you. And I want to confess some of my frustrations. And after I confess my frustrations, let's pray together and see if these can be healed. Our church has a number of elders that I just love our elders. We have a great relationship. One of our elders seeks me out almost every week to pray with me before the service starts. And a few weeks ago, 9 a.m. service, that elder was here with my office to pray, and we were praying. Before we prayed, I said, can I just tell you some things that I'm finding kind of frustrating? He said, sure, just go ahead, tell me. And I openly confessed to him, I'm frustrated about this, I'm frustrated about that, I'm frustrated about blah, blah, blah. And after I confessed it and we prayed about it, those frustrations were totally gone. They just like evaporated. It was an amazing, amazing thing. And I want to encourage you that this powerful thing of honestly, openly confessing your fears, your frustrations, and then praying about those things is a powerful thing in your life. And James says this. James says, don't miss what James says. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Now, for some of you, you look at that and you've done that and you nod your head and you're like, that's great. That's a great thing. It's powerful in our lives. Some of you look at that and you're like, whoa, I would never do that. I mean, imagine you came to church and the greeting was, tell me your deepest sins. Wouldn't that be a great greeting in church? You know, you walk in to get coffee and somebody's like, hey, come on in. Tell me your deepest sins. You know, go ahead, confess, share your deepest sins. You know, we don't like that idea. It's uncomfortable to be so vulnerable. But having authentic relationships where we can be vulnerable and we can be open is such a healing thing in our lives. Confess your sins. Now, a lot of us in this room, let's just be honest. Let's acknowledge this. There are people in this room right now that may be harboring a hidden sin. They're doing the opposite of confessing your sins, and you're holding onto a sin. You're harboring it. You're holding it back in some way, and this would be such a healthy thing for you. A little phrase I like to use. Disclosure, talking about yourself, talking about your sins. Disclosure disarms the enemy. Amen. The devil's power can be minimized in your life as you openly confess what you're dealing with. Now, Pastor Tom, where might I do that? Where might I confess my sins or talk about these things? A great place is in your marriage. How many guys here are married right now? Just raise your hand. You're married right now? It's a fantastic thing to sit down with your wife or your husband and just say, you know what? I'm struggling. Here's some of my fears. Here's some frustrations. Here's some sins that I've been dealing with. And you just confess them to each other and you pray. I've been with lots of couples who've confessed things to each other and we've had a prayer time and they've found that such a healing place to be. Confessing to each other, your marriage is a great place. Now, if you're thinking, that's a great idea, I think I'll begin doing that, that's great. But maybe you're thinking, no way. I could never confess to my husband or my wife. I could never confess things to them. We don't have that kind of relationship. Let me just say, your marriage can be something that works in God's hand to transform your life. Grab onto that idea. Maybe not your marriage. Maybe it's somebody in your family. Maybe one of your parents, maybe you're here and you're younger and you could go to your mom or dad and just say, let me confess some things to you. Let me tell you what's happening. Or a brother or a sister or a cousin or an uncle or some Christian person you can go to and confess what's happening in your life. How about this one? A close Christian friend. A close Christian friendship is a great place to go and say, I want to confess these things. Now, our church, we have lots of pastors. If you want to go to one of them, go to one of them. Pastor Jeff is right here. Pastor Coley's in the back. Pastor Mark's somewhere in the room. Go to one of them. Go sit down if you want to be open and just confess these things. Like I mentioned before, we have great ministries here where you can see growth as you honestly confess how you're feeling and what you're doing. And last of all, let me just say this. Maybe some of you here, you're in a small group. You're in a home group Bible study that's meeting and studying, and we're about to start several new small groups. Now would be a great time to jump into a small group and have those relationships where you can be authentic and open and share how you're feeling. We're going to go on to our third idea today from James, and it's this one, the end of verse 16, and I really want to focus on this part this morning. James says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. And then James adds on this tagline that I really want you to see how amazing this is. He says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Now, I want you to fill these blanks in, and I'm going to say a few things about this that I really want you to hear. The point of prayer is not simply to pray. Prayer should be powerful and effective. The point of prayer is not simply to pray. Prayer should be powerful and effective. Now, let me just say this to you. Now, some of you, this is gonna not be how you think or how you see things, but I want to say this. For a lot of Christians, the idea of praying is simply this. Wow, I prayed. Prayer is a good thing. I prayed. Get a check mark for prayer. That's a great thing. A lot of us think, what should I do today? I should work out. I should go to work. I should be kind to my pets, and I should pray. Okay, kind to my pets. Check. Work out. Check. How many guys work out regularly? Anybody out there is a workout person? Okay, good. You get it done. You check it off, and you think, okay, pray. And you just check the list. And let me tell you, checking off I prayed today is not the point of prayer. The point of prayer is not simply to pray. Let me just make this statement. I'm going to show you some Pew research on this. But the point of prayer is not to pray. Everyone prays. Let me just show you this. Everyone prays. More than half of Americans, 55% of Americans, say they pray every day, according to a 2013 Pew Research Center survey. 78% say they pray weekly. Even those who are religiously unaffiliated, don't belong to any church or any religious group, even that group, 21% say they pray every day. And get this, even 25% of atheists report praying weekly. So if you pray weekly, you're on the same line as an atheist. Great job. The point of prayer is not just to pray. You know Hindus pray. You know Muslims pray. You know even Congress prays. Everyone prays. The point of prayer is not to say, okay, I pray. I'm checking it off my list. I'm going to tell you this. I believe there are so many Christians that have the Holy Spirit inside of them. They're redeemed and they're saved. And their prayers are like this. Their prayers are brain dead mumblings. Brain dead mumblings. What do I mean by that? I mean that when you go to pray, you go into some rehearsed thing where you begin every prayer the same way. Ever notice this? People begin to pray, they're like, same thing every single time. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. Every single time. You go into this brain-dead mumbling. Several years ago, I was on the phone with Josh Baker. Josh used to work with me with the youth group years ago. And Josh and I were talking about something. He was my worship leader. We're planning a service or something. And the phone call came to an end, and I went brain-dead. And I thought I was talking to my wife or something. And I was like, okay, Josh, see you later. Love you. And he's like, whoa, 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 Tom, did you just say you love me? And I'm like, well, I do love you in Christ, Josh. And he's like, that was weird, man. That was really weird. And he's like, okay, let me do it. Love you too. And like at this moment, you know what happened? I went totally brain dead. I forgot who I was talking to and what I was saying. And I went right into my normal ending. Okay, honey, see you later. Love you. That's what I did. Let me just ask you a question. Is it possible that your prayers are like that too? They're just mumbling things. You're just like, okay, I better pray. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for this food. No, no, no. Is that what you're doing? Your prayer is not intended simply to be a rehearsed statement that you mumble and don't even pay attention to the words that you're saying. Your prayer should be powerful and effective in your life. Look at this. The point of prayer is not simply to pray. Erase that from your mind. Well, the point of prayer is just to pray. And people say to me all the time, hey, Pastor Tom, pray for this. Hey, Pastor Tom, pray for that. And I love that. I love that relationship. I love saying, yes, I will pray for you, but I don't want to just mumble something. I don't want to mumble something that I don't even know. Okay, help them, blah, 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 blah. No, no, no. I want prayers that are powerful and prayers that are effective. The Greek word here is energeo, powerful. Prayer should be energized, powerful. It should be happening that way. Also, prayer should be effective, James is saying. An effective prayer, get this. It produces a desired or intended result. Here's what it means. It may not always be your intended result, but it certainly can be God's intended result. Amen? Amen. What if prayer for you was powerful and effective? Yesterday, I had a wedding. I officiated a wedding yesterday. I came in from the wedding. I was kind of running late a little bit, and I came in from the wedding, and I walked in, and there was almost no one in the room. No one was here at all except Pastor Coley. And Pastor Coley was walking. Now get this picture. I walk in the room. I'm going fast. Nobody else is here. And Pastor Coley is going over every chair in this room. And he's praying for every single prayer. And I can tell you right now, he was not praying, God, I hope they mumble through a service. God, I hope they just stay awake today. God, I hope some tiny thing happens. No, he was praying. He was praying that people would encounter the living God. Amen. In this place. This morning, we broke it up. Coley prayed for that section. I prayed for this section. Brenda played for the, good job, Brenda. Pray for the middle section right here. Every seat in this room has been prayed over, unless you came in late and it wasn't set up yet, and then you're sitting in an unprayed for chair. But still, it's gonna be okay. It's still gonna be all right. Okay, don't worry, don't worry. It's still gonna be all right. But get this in your mind. Your prayer should be more than a brain dead mumbling. Your prayer, you should have the expectation. When I pray, it's powerful. And when I pray, something effective can happen. Well, what do I mean by that? Let's just talk about it. What do I mean by powerful and effective prayer? Here's the first line. Here's the first line right here. First over yourself. You want to get to the point. Here's how I want to say it. You want to mature to the place where your prayer for yourself can be powerful and effective in this way. Pray over your own attitude. Who here, just admit this. Raise your hand. You sometimes get a sour attitude. Just raise your hand. You get a bad attitude. Who's bad attitude people out there, right? We're just going to add B.A. to the end of your name. Pastor B.A. Tom Powell, right here, right? Bad attitude. Well, you need to mature to the place where you can pray for yourself and say, God, change my attitude. God, I need self-control. I'm experiencing a temptation. I'm on my knees, and I want that prayer for myself to be powerful, that I'm reaching out to the God of the universe, and that I can say, wow, I prayed. My prayer's powerful and effective, and suddenly I have willpower. I can call a friend and have them pray with me. I can reach out to somebody else. I've got self-control because I prayed, and that prayer was powerful, and that prayer was effective. Here's a second line. I don't want to offend you, and this shouldn't offend you, but here's the second place you should go. Number two, powerful prayer and effective prayer. Pray powerful and effective prayers over situations in your life. The word over is missing. Just ignore that. Over situations in your own life where you're saying, God, I've got this problem. I've got this issue. I may not know what your will is, God, and I want your will, but I want to pray powerfully over this situation in my life. And then third level here is that you can pray powerfully and effective prayers for other people. That someone says, pray for me, and you're like, okay, when I pray, I believe God is going to work in a powerful and effective way. I had an example of this come to my mind when I was putting the sermon together. There's a member of our church named Daryl Moss. Maybe some of you know Daryl. Daryl and I were in church together about 6 years ago, and Daryl came to the altar at the end of the service. I think Pastor Dan Hill had been preaching, or I think that's who it was, and Daryl came up and went to the altar, and he knelt down, and I walked over to Daryl, and I began praying for him, my hand on his shoulder, and I began to pray for him. And I reached down to his ear, as I was trained to do in my prayer counseling classes, and I said, Daryl, what can I pray for you for? How can I pray for you? And Daryl looked back at me. He said, my wife and I are trying to figure out if we should sell our house or not. Our house has been on the market, and we're thinking about taking our house off the market, and we just need to know God's heart. I said, man, I would love to pray for you. I wasn't expecting to hear from God. I wasn't expecting anything great to happen, but I began to pray for him, and this phrase just jumped in my head. He will know in the next 7 days. And I said, Daryl, you know what, man? I feel like God just spoke to me. I was scared. I was like, do I step out and say something? And what if it wasn't God? What if it was just me? I don't know. But I said, you know what? I'm going to have some boldness. I'm going to say, I said, Daryl, I think it was God. And I heard this phrase that you're going to know in the next 7 days. And he looked at me like, whoa, that was weird. I said, that was weird, man. He's like, all right. He went and told his wife. Pastor Tom told me we're going to know in the next 7 days. And then when he's leaving, I said, Daryl, you might even find out today. You might even find out today about your house in the market. They went home from church. He got his answering machine, and they had a buyer on the answering machine who had made an offer. How awesome, right? What an awesome thing. Powerful and effective prayers. So I'm going to have one last thing in this sermon. I'm going to say one last thing. I'm going to be all done. I want to hit this because I don't want to leave you right here. Okay, two last things. So why might your prayer not be powerful and effective? Now I want to say something that James says, and I want to gloss over this. Maybe you're looking at yourself and you're like, my prayers aren't powerful. My prayers really aren't very effective. I don't pray in a way that I see God doing great things very often. Why might that be? And James says this, and don't miss it. James says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. A righteous person. Now, you might jump out of that and say, well, here's why. Here's why I'm not seeing incredible power when I pray and these kinds of things happening. Maybe it's because I'm not a righteous person. Maybe that's the deal. But if you're taking that logic, let me say to you, Paul says this in Romans 4:5. However, to the one who trusts God, who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. You don't get this excuse. You don't get that I'm not a righteous person, because in Christ you are righteous. Amen. And in Christ you have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. It's not there. In fact, James says this to us. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. And he gives an example of Elijah. I know you're thinking, Pastor Tom, I'm not Elijah. Don't compare me to Elijah. But look what he says. Elijah was a human being, even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crop. Here's the point James makes. Elijah was a human being, is what he's saying. Elijah was a human man. And this is the phrase he says, even as we are. Elijah was a human just like you. You know what Elijah didn't have? You have the Holy Spirit. You have the Holy Spirit living in you. Here's what James is saying. You don't think you need to be perfect to pray powerfully, because you don't have to be perfect. That can hold you back. You can think this. Well, I'll just get my life totally straightened out, and when I'm totally perfect, then I'll think about praying for somebody else. Don't think that way. You don't have to be perfect to pray powerfully. So here's the very last thing of all. So what do you need? What do you need to do? How can you begin to step out and say, I want to pray in a powerful way? It's powerful and effective. I'm not telling you a three-step system. I'm not giving you a try this, try that. I just want to give you a couple thoughts about what you need to pray powerfully in your life. Here's number one. You need to maintain a vibrant connection with God. We see it right here. John 15:5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. Here's what he's saying. If you remain in me and I in you, you'll bear much fruit. There's powerful and effective as you're connected with me. A vibrant connection is maintained. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Maintain a vibrant connection. You know, last night I told you, I had a wedding yesterday. I came in, I set my laptop up to do my presentation. This morning I got on my laptop, I turned it on, I got it going, got it all ready. I went down and got some coffee and talked to some great people, and I went back up and my laptop was totally dead, completely dead. I thought, why'd this thing die? What's happening? I looked up, and I hadn't even plugged it in. There was no power source connected. And I'm like, oh, no. Brad was singing the first song. I was about to walk up here. I'm getting my power cord out. You know what? My computer lost a vibrant connection right there. And you've got to maintain that connection with Christ that says, you know what? I'm praying. I'm not mumbling brain-dead prayers. I'm praying. I'm maintaining a vital connection with you. I'm confessing. I'm talking to you. I'm including you, God. And what I'm doing, I'm maintaining a vital connection. I'm studying your word. I'm in your word. I'm studying it. I'm looking at it. I'm getting into it. I'm maintaining this vital connection. And here's number two, and I don't want you to miss. Number two, it's a big one. Expect great things. 1 Peter 1:3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again. Because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead, now we live with great expectation. Some translations say, now we have a living hope. But I want you to see it like this. There should be great expectation in your life. I mentioned you guys that twice now. I've mentioned that I officiated a wedding yesterday. I went Friday night. Tracy went, my wife went with me too. And we were doing the wedding rehearsal. It was at the barn at the Backwoods outdoor wedding. And I was out there yesterday rehearsing. And I met all the groomsmen, bridesmaids, known the family for a long time, but didn't know all their friends. And It was kind of fun. We're having a little wedding rehearsal. It was beautiful outside. I'm teasing them. It was all good. I got them all set up in just the right way. And they all walked out just the right way. It's all fun and games. We're all laughing. And I said, we're going to walk through it one more time, but I want you to play the music this time. So they began playing the music. And we began to walk up. And I saw those groomsmen and bridesmaids. They began walking down. And one bridesmaid after the next, she's like crying. She's like pulling the tears back just like that. Then the father of the bride, this is a rehearsal, not the wedding day, it's a rehearsal. The music's playing, the father of the bride's walking her down, and he's just bawling his eyes out. He's like, whoa, my little girl. He's walking her down. And we finish the whole thing. I'm like, what happened? I know him pretty well. I was like, hey, what happened, man? How come you're bawling like a baby? He's like, man, that music made it real. That music made it real. I knew it was going to be like, I'm like, I'll confess. My daughter's wedding song, cry like a baby. I just confess it right now. But you know what happened? He got in that mindset of expectation. This is what it's going to be like. I'm expecting tomorrow what's going to happen. And I want you to live in that way of great expectation. Expect God to do great things. Amen. Some of you may have lost that. Maybe you had that at one point. God's going to do something amazing. And maybe you lost that. Maybe you lost that feeling that, wow, I serve an amazing God who's going to do great things. Amen. And then the last one, number three. Here's the last one. Powerful and effective prayer. Pray big prayers. I want to call you to this. Pray big prayers. I don't want you to mumble through brain-dead prayers. I want you to pray big prayers. Think about your family. Think about anyone in your family that doesn't know Christ and pray big prayers over them, that they would come to know Christ, that God would work in their heart and move on their heart. What if you did things like this? What if you live in Granville? What if you walk downtown Granville? Uptown, we call it, actually. And you went uptown in Granville, and you went by yourself. It's not a big church thing. You went by yourself, and you walked through Granville, and you just prayed for revival. You prayed that God would move on our community of Granville. Maybe you live in Newark and you drive by yourself down by the square and you're just walking around the square praying for revival just by yourself. God, do great things. God, do amazing things. If you live in St. Louisville, this will be a very short trip for you to go down and pray for those things. But I want to call you to pray big prayers. Pray over your family. Pray over our church. To not step back, to not shrink back and mumble brain dead prayers, but to pray big, huge prayers. I have one last scripture. Here it is right here. I don't even know if you believe this scripture, Ephesians 3:20. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to his power that's at work within us. Listen, what kind of God do you serve? Do you serve a big God or do you serve a small God? Do you serve a God of great expectations or tiny little expectations? What kinds of things are you praying for? What kind of prayer life do you have? Step out. Maintain a vibrant connection with God. Expect great things and pray big prayers. Let's just bow our heads right now. Let's bow our heads. Father, I thank you for this study in the book of James. I thank you, Father, for how James so boldly addresses us. And God, I pray we'd be open to be addressed in a bold way today. To know, God, that the point of our prayer is not simply just to pray. Just to mumble a prayer to you. But the point of our prayer, as James says, is to be powerful and effective. God, I pray that the prayer life of our church would be greatly affected by a move of your Spirit. That, God, we would know the vitalness of maintaining a connection with you. That, God, we would know as a congregation how important it is to have expectation. That, God, we wouldn't get lulled to sleep by the doldrum of our life, but know that we serve a great God who's doing amazing things. That our God has a plan for our county. Our God has a plan for our nation. Our God has a plan for the world and wants to use us to impact the world. Father God, I pray that we be bold enough to pray big prayers. That we might even pray a prayer that is a seed today that won't take root and grow for years down the line. But that, God, we could pray bold, big prayers. And we wouldn't shrink back, God, from the calling that you have for us. God, I pray we just look at our faith, examine our prayer life, examine where we are, and are energized to grow in you. Father, we praise you and thank you. Just keep your heads bowed, if you would, just for a second. I'm just going to invite you right now into a time just to examining your life. Maybe at some point in the past we talked about healing prayer. And maybe today's the day you want to go back to the prayer room and get some healing prayer. Knowing that our God is a healing God, maybe you want to step out and receive prayer today. Some of you here, maybe you're hiding a secret sin and no one knows about it. And I'm challenging you right now, this week, reach out for help. Go to someone that you trust and confess that secret hidden sin. Confession and prayer brings healing in a powerful way. And last of all, I want you to examine your prayer life. Have you been praying just to pray? Have you been mumbling brain-dead prayers? Versus praying with expectancy, big prayers. Just examine where you are right now. Take a quiet moment and pray. You can pray in your seats. You can come to the altar if you like, but just take a moment right now. Examine where you are.
the one that guides my heart. Lord, I need you.
Thank you, Pastor Brad. Thank you, praise team. We do need him. Hey, we're so glad you're here this morning. If you're a first-time guest, I would love to meet you. I would love to meet you. I'll be right at the back of the worship center. I'm Pastor Tom Mabyset. I'm a nice guy, so come back and see me back there, all right? We'd love to just express our appreciation to you and then see how we can serve you. And then secondly, this morning, if you're here, and I feel like I'm a broken record every weekend when I do this, we have a prayer team. Especially after this service, we have a prayer team. They feel called by God to be there. You don't have to share tons of details. You don't have to share more than you're comfortable sharing. But they want to pray with you. They want to pray over you. And it makes a difference. it makes a difference. So just take advantage of that if you feel that God leading you to do that. We are so excited that you are here. And I pray that as you go out this week, you know, Pastor Tom talked about praying in Granville, praying in Newark, praying in Heath, praying in your neighborhood. Maybe take some time and find a time this week where you can just go and walk up and down the street and pray. Pray for your neighbors. Pray over houses. Just really feel like God's impressing our church and the leadership that we need to be people of prayer, especially during these days. So appreciated this message, and I hope you did too. And let me pray over you as you go. Father, I thank you for every one of my brothers and sisters that are here in the room this morning. I thank you for their hearts, Lord. I thank you for their experiences. I thank you for creating them. I thank you that you crafted each one of them unique. Lord, they have a unique role to play in your great story. Would you bless them as they go out this week? Would you watch over them? Would you walk with them? Would you give them any guidance that they may need as they go out into the world this week? Bless their businesses, bless their homes, bless their relationships. Lord, we love you. Help us to show others how much we love you and that you love them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Have a great week, guys.